That's great. And Jacob is going to come and read to us Romans chapter 4, page 1131. Page 1131 in the church Bibles. Thanks, Jacob.
Good morning. Let us read this wonderful truth that we can find in God's Word. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had long before he was circumcised. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring, received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom we believe, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, that so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offsprings be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was also 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he has promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification.
One question today, a very big question. Here it is, here it comes. How can a person be right before God? How can a person be right before God? Is it by praying? lots of praying. Maybe by visiting some sort of holy place. Maybe by making, I don't know, a little shrine at home. Saying some Hail Marys or something like that. Is it by putting lots of money in the offering? How about taking communion? Or how about being baptized, doing a Toby and being baptized? What about giving money to charity? It's a pretty good thing to do, isn't it? What about being kind to other people? The Bible says judgment day is coming. A day is coming when each one of us, you and me, will stand before our Maker. And it says we're sinners. It says we're sinners. We've had this in Romans so far, massively so. So being right before God is hugely important, isn't it? How can we be right before God? How can we know? How can we be sure? Now, adults, I would love you to have that Romans passage open, chapter 4, page 1131. Please do have it open. Children, it's great to have you in here for this bit. I'm going to try and engage you as much as possible. You give back on that front, okay? That'd be great. So what I'd love you to do is be looking over your parents' shoulder at the open Bible. So together with them, you can check what I'm saying is coming from Romans chapter 4. It's what the Bible's saying. And I wonder how you found the passage which Jacob read earlier, as it was read to us. I wonder how you got on listening to that. It's quite involved, wasn't it? It can feel a little bit like you lose your way in these big passages, a bit like maybe one of the dwarves in The Hobbit. You know, they go into Mirkwood, don't they?
Yeah, and they run out of...
I told you to engage. Yes, they do.
And then they get caught by spiders.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't spoil it all. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. The thing about them is, thanks so much, the more they go into the forest, the more they get lost and turned around, don't they? They lose the path. And it can feel a bit like that when we read the Bible, can't it? At times, in this passage particularly, to be honest, it's pretty involved. And we see the same sort of trees again and again. The trees are called faith, believed, credited, righteous, Abraham, law. And you can read this and you can sort of feel like you perhaps need to have a bit of a lie down. Don't do that. You can't anyway, really. There's the seats next to you. Because actually what we have here is a really, really important part of the Bible. So let's stay switched on. Now, I'm not going to attempt to take us through the whole of chapter 4, but to highlight three key truths in it. If you want to have a name for chapter 4 for this forest, you could call it a Faith Alone Forest. That wouldn't be a bad name for it. Let me pray before we get stuck in proper. And I'll be throwing loads of questions out in a minute, so get ready for that as well. Yes. Father, as we look into your word together now, let this not be simply a passing on of information, but let it be for each one of us a meeting with you. So help me now to be clear and faithful to your word. Help us all to be listening and to respond to what you say to us. For the glory of your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Paul tells us in this passage how to be right with God. Okay, that's what he does in this passage. And he does it by first telling us about the first person who was called right before God. Because, think about it, it makes sense. If he can prove to us how the first person was right before God, well, then surely he's able to convince us how all other following people can be right. It'll be a clincher, God willing. Can you see in the passage who the person is? Chance to call out something. Who's the person? Abraham, thank you. Abraham has a special place in salvation history, doesn't he? How was Abraham right before God? That's our question, okay, for the moment. How was he right? Well, let's find out, firstly, by having a timeline. We love a bit of a timeline, don't we? Take you back to school, especially a real timeline. So let's use a bit of anchor warp. And, oh dear, it's a bit long. And first of all, in our timeline, we need the very first person who was created. And the name of that person is?
Adam.
Jacob, could you be Adam for us? Thanks very much. And if you hold that so everyone can see, and then move maybe sort of along towards that trumpet. Okay, first person in our timeline. Oh, yeah, avoiding my prop for later. That'd be awesome. Okay, so we've got Adam. Okay, next we need... good call. Okay, but we're not going to have everyone. We're going to jump a few years. I'll say some. Could you imagine it? Boom, stretch into. I'll start up there somewhere. Okay. So next. So in Adam, actually, we fell, and joined to Adam, we are all sinners because of Adam and Eve's sin, including this man 2,000 years later. Okay, Victor, would you like to come be Abraham for us? Here he comes. Absolutely perfect. So here comes Abraham. If I actually go here, Victor, if you don't mind. So next on the timeline, a number of years later, is Abraham. And Abraham, see it on the sign there, was right before God. Okay, about 2,000 years after Adam, we have Abraham. Now then, about 430 years later... Don't catch me on the spaces and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to work. We need Moses. Okay, so, Sam, oh, awesome. Do you want to be Moses for us? Your sister stitched you up. Because of me being here, let's have Moses about there. Let's get the line nice and tight. Is that okay, chaps? Ish.
Hey, Moses.
I'm surrounded by a red of Moses. That's awesome. Okay, and then about 1,500 years later... We have Jesus, and you'll see that I'm not choosing anyone to be Jesus. Toby, can you just hold the end of this for us? I've got a bit of tension on the rope. Okay, thanks so much. So, cheers, Richard. So let's put Jesus here. Okay, so Jesus, about 1,500 years later. Okay, and Jesus, Abraham, right before God, Jesus perfectly right. He's the one who makes people right. Come to that in a bit. And then about 2,000 years later, we come to us today. 2021, 22 nearly, isn't it? Toby, can you be us today? Which is pretty easy, isn't it? So, Toby, us today. Okay? And you be you over there. You can stand if you want, you can sit. So there's Jesus perfectly right. There's Moses. There's Abraham. There's Adam. I'm just going to put one more thing on here, okay? And it is a sign... I'm going to put it about here. Okay, you don't need to move. In fact, it's better if you don't. Sorry. Okay, but a sign there. Circumcision. Okay, there's a sign. And now I'm going to fire lots of questions at you. Okay, so looking at the timeline, I hope you can see pretty much. Here come some questions. Okay, they're not trick questions. Okay. Was Abraham right with God before the sign of circumcision? Yes, about 13 years before as well, so maybe if we are trying to be a bit more, whatever the word is, about 13. Was Abraham right with God before God gave Moses the law?
Yeah,
about 400 years later was the law, so about 400 years before the law, Abraham, God says, you're right before me. Okay, so here's the next question. Do signs like circumcision, baptism, is another sign today, do they make people right with God?
No,
it came after, didn't it? No, absolutely not. Abraham was right with God before the sign. Does trying to keep God's law make people right before God? Why not? And because it came after, didn't it? So it can't be keeping the law. You're right, we can't. Okay, but it can't be. Abraham was declared right before the law was given. Now, let's just check our Bibles. Timeline, people, stay where you are, please. Look at verse 10. Can you see what it says in verse 10? Jacob read to us earlier. Under what circumstances was Abraham credited as righteous or right before God? After circumcision or before, that's the sign. Not after, but before. Well done, your answers are correct. And look at verse 13 now. And this is this bit here. It was not through the law that Abraham received. Okay, so next question. So what was it that meant Abraham was right before God? What was it? Can you see? Look at verse 3. What is the word we're looking for in verse 3? Yes, Katie.
What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as
Cool. What's the one word we're looking for in that verse? Ooh. Ooh. Believed. We had the word believed. You're right, though. And guys, good stuff. Believed. Okay. So, he believed God. That's the first thing on there. How can a person be right before God? Believe. That's what we learn from this, okay? Paul is saying here, the first person called right with God was right through believing. Thank you. This is a participation service. Do call out when I pause and all the rest of it. Believing. Not by any sign, circumcision, baptism, communion, not by doing or trying to keep the law, to be good, working hard, volunteering at the charity shop, but by believing. Okay, that is what the first thing is saying. Timeline, people, thank you very much. You can literally just put it down where it is and take a seat. Thank you very much, timeline people. It's great. Oh, you want to clap them? That's nice. A bit too nice, but yeah, it's great. Thank you. Key word, okay? Key word, how to be right before God? Believe. Okay? But believe what? Let's delve a little bit. What was it that Abraham believed? Can you see verse 13? Someone call it out. Begins with
the
P.
Promise to Abraham.
That's it? Brilliant?
Air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. The promise. The promise, what was the promise? Brilliant, you read verse 13 for us. The promise, thank you, Katie, was of an offspring, an heir, a son, through whom would come justification, the gift of being right before God. And this leads to the second thing. So we're going to put the second thing up in a moment. If being right before God is a gift, okay, the promise of a gift, then we, to be right with God, we need to believe and receive God's gift, don't we? Can you see in verse 6, the next person Paul tells us about how to be right before God? Call out a name, someone. David. Thank you very much. David. Next person. Paul first uses Abraham, okay, greatest believer, and then David, greatest believing king. Because if he can prove how David was right before God, then he can doubly convince us how all people are right before God. It's like a double clincher, isn't it? That's the idea. See what Paul's doing here. What did David discover? Let's find out. Moving from timelines to piggy banks. Here's a question. What do you keep your money in? Sorry. Sounds like we can come to your house. I'm not trying to genuinely find it. Go on, yeah.
A saving pig.
A pig. A saving pig. Piggy bank. Yeah, yeah, nice. Any other answers? Yeah.
A wallet.
A wallet. Yeah. Any advance on wallet? Judy?
Under my mattress.
Oh, sorry, is that recorded? Not Judy's. Okay. Anyone else want to join in? No, don't look. Okay, no. Sorry, it's getting dodgy. Judy. Okay. So, we keep our money in a purse or a wallet, but that's when we're out and about, isn't it? At home, we keep our money generally in something else, and thanks very much, some sort of piggy bank. I brought one with us here this morning. You might have a piggy bank a bit like this. Oh, check it out, eh? Who do you reckon this belongs to? Call it out. No. Good try.
This is definitely
Finn. Finn's, yes. I owe him £10, actually, so it's going in, Finn. You're watching. That's 1 5, 2 5s. Yeah, that's in. Okay, so you might keep your money in. Thank you. You might keep your money in something like that. You might, and we're just showing off now. You might keep your money in something like this. Let me hold it here. This is my coin sorter. Seen it before. Empty note. Donations after. That's a joke. Don't do that. Can you put your money in? Oh, it rolls down to the slot, doesn't it? There we go. You might keep your money at home in something like that. I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't last long in there, does it?
does it? No. My lovely coin sorter on my side of the bed gets raided regularly. Yes, Kate.
I keep my money in my bank account.
In your bank account? Great, we're coming on to that. You must be, yeah, good. Okay, so we keep our money in something at home, don't we? Okay, that's what we do. And in the bank as well. Let's just think, okay? Think about your store of money. Think about your bank account, whatever. What goes in? You're thinking nothing or not enough. And what goes out of your account? Let's think about those things for a moment. First of all, what goes into your account? Okay, what goes in? Hands up, yeah. Where does money come from?
Work.
Oh, you work? No. What work? Are you saying adults, or do you do any work to get money? It might be. Do you ever do jobs and get money? Oh, sorry. Sorry, did it, what? Pardon?
I did jobs for my
mom. Yeah, good man, good man. Edith, go on.
Pocket money.
Pocket money, okay. Pocket money goes into the thing. Anything else? Money you find. Oh, awesome. Lying around Granny and Grandad's house. No, sorry. That was a joke. Oh, dear, that's terrible. That's Granny and Grandad's money. I need to stop. Yeah, Katie.
When we were at the arcade, we found, money under the thing, and we, used it.
All right, this is developing. Do you want to have a word, Jared? Is that getting a bit serious? Yeah, I love doing that as well. Do you want to go check in the ball, don't you? And then put it back in, or charities. Pixie? Tooth fairy. Okay, thank you. Yeah, the tooth fairy. Generous tooth fairies these days, by the way. You guys missed out, me included, when a tooth fell out. Okay, yeah, let's go back here.
Birthday money.
Thank you. Birthday? Birthday money. So you get money birthday and Christmas, Edith?
Christmas.
Oh, sorry. Christmas. Yeah, birthday, Christmas. Anything else? Adults, join in.
Pension.
Yes, your pension money goes in. Child allowance?
Stocks and shares.
Stocks and shares. Brilliant. Blank looks. No. Yeah, you've all got stocks and shares? Monopoly money. Okay, right, let's move on. So, yeah, money goes in. Salary as well, adults, of course, your money comes in. Pixie, last one. It's like gangster church. Okay, thanks, Pixie. Right, next one. What goes out, okay? Money goes into our account. We sometimes wish it was more. What goes out of our account? We probably think, well, everything. What goes out? Hands up. Let's be sort of a bit less dodgy this time. Sorry. Bills, yes, absolutely. Bills, Edith?
Taxes.
Poor child. Oh, sorry, your parents. Yeah, I'm with you, yeah. Yeah, taxes. Yes, boy, they do. What else goes out? Yeah.
Money that you use to buy food.
Money, yes, money for food. Yes, yeah, I'll bet you eat a bit of food. Yeah, sorry, no, sorry.
Money for cutlery.
Cutlery? Wow. Yeah, so food need to eat with it. Money for cutlery, household things, thank you, yeah. Right. This is really honest now. Okay, holidays. Let's leave it there. Sorry to hear that. Yeah, thanks. Glad you can't hear at the back. Edith?
Going in a taxi.
Last one, Pixie. Good answer.
Horse riding and gymnastics.
Agree with that, John Wayman? Sorry. Couldn't resist. Horse riding lesson on Tuesday. You gave up gymnastics last week. Long time, sorry. Beryl. Okay, so money goes out, doesn't it? Okay, I had down things like clothes. Yeah, you spend money on clothes. Sweets. Kids, come on. Toys. Yeah, you're too advanced for this, aren't you? Gifts, bills for the house. Basically, with our money in our account, all sorts goes on, doesn't it? Finn will tell you. Money goes in, money comes out, all sorts goes on. Let's think for a moment about money that you've earned, okay, and money that you've given. And we're coming to Romans 4. Money you've earned and money you've been given. So think about money earned. You sort of brought us to that earlier. Well done. Thanks for that. Say you cut the grass for next door, or you wash the family car, and say they pay you £5. Oh, my £5 isn't here now. Never mind. Or code, isn't it? And say they give you £5. Is that £5 a gift to you? What do you think? It's a reward for the work you did. So is it a gift? No. You earned it, yeah? You cut the grass, you get the money, okay, you earned it. Sorry, they're not trick questions, okay? Let's think about gifts. Say Granny visits, okay, and in her unique voice says, oh, come here, dear, got a little something for you. And as Granny's wonderfully do, out of the purse comes £5, and she gives it to you. Was that money earned? No. Okay, warm me up. It's a gift. You didn't work for that like you did cutting the grass for next door or washing the car. It's a gift, isn't it? It's a gift from Granny. Look at verse 4, in chapter 4. To the one who works, wages are not given as a gift, but as an obligation, a duty. That means a requirement, because you earned it. It makes sense. I'm just stating the obvious, isn't it? Verse 5, carrying on, children, I want you to look over at your parents' Bibles if you can as well. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies, it's credited as righteousness. Paul is making one very, very simple point, really. Being right with God can't be earned. It's a gift that has to be received. That's the point. So verse 7, if you look on, David says, who are the blessed ones? Those whose sins are forgiven, covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Do a few jobs, sell a few things, bribe a few people, Pixie. No, don't do it. You get money credited into your account. But how does the credit of being right before God or righteousness appear in Abraham and David's account? How does it appear? Can you see the word in verse 5? Someone call it out. Justification is what's happened. How does it get there? Through faith. Thank you. Well done. Faith. How is someone right with God? Not by doing stuff, by believing. Not by earning, by receiving. And it's all, last point, by faith in God alone. Verse 13, have a look at this one. We've got a couple more verses. Verse 13, can you see it? Not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise, but through the righteousness which comes by... Thank you. Verse 16, the promise of being right comes by... faith. End of verse 16. To those who have the faith of Abraham. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pa. Guess how many times the word faith appears in chapter 4. Someone just call a number out. Thank you. Sorry. 21. 50. Whoa. Okay, it's 10. Oh, sorry. You were about to say that, weren't you? That's incredible. It's 10. If you add the word believe in as well, which means the same thing, faith and believe really work the same way, there's 16 times this word comes up, which tells us that faith is really important, doesn't it? That 16 times in 25 verses. That says faith's really important, and it is really important. Okay, and we really need to know how to be right with God. So we really need to know what faith is. Okay, here's a way of remembering faith, and we get this from Hebrews. Faith means to be sure of things hoped for. Lunch is coming. Have faith. It is certain of things, though unseen. Okay, there's a definition of faith. Look at verse 18 and 19. Here's the example of Abraham's faith. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. How can he have a child who's 100? That's the point, isn't it? And that Sarah's womb was also dead. She'd gone past the stage of being able to have children. By faith, he believed. Faith isn't just a word. It isn't a feeling. It isn't a kind of energy. It's a focus of belief. And it works a bit like a channel, okay, by which believers look and receive. So let's think, last illustration, pipeline, okay, pipeline. Now, front row, this was the splash zone. Now it could be the crash zone. So watch out. If this thing comes near you, you need to duck, okay? So I'm going to wave it around a bit whilst trying not to get arm ache. Whoa. That's what's going to happen again in a minute, so get ready. Okay, so, okay, this isn't meant to be a telescope, by the way. This is a channel, right, yeah? Someone comes this way, someone comes back the other way. It's getting heavy already. Okay, a channel of believing and receiving, okay? Now, faith isn't a thing you can see and touch, all right, so like this. But it works a bit like a channel, so I hope this picture helps a little bit. Now, we focus on many things in life, okay? So we can fix our eyes on all sorts of things. Where's the football gone? Where's my car? We can fix our eyes on all sorts of things, and we do, don't we? In life, we have many things. Family, friends, sports, music, all the rest of it. When the Bible talks about faith, it's talking about having trust and confidence in something. So faith in an object, in something. It means to look to something in faith, putting our hope and trust in it. And point to bear in mind, our faith is only as good as the object it looks to, okay? So we can make the focus of... Oh, I forgot my piggy bank. Never mind, sorry. Okay, here's my piggy bank. It's a good time, actually, for it to come out. There's my piggy bank, okay? Let's put it over there. Don't worry. Oh, thank you, Judy. We can make the focus of our lives... She's holding it and nicked it. Okay, that's my piggy bank Judy's got, by the way. We can make it about focusing on money. Okay, so if I make and put everything into wanting money, okay, then actually... You know, if that's the thing I think I need, if money is the big thing I need, if faith is a channel and I look to money as the object, what am I going to receive? What do you think? Oh, let me answer that. It might be money, because you're pretty good at making money, some of you, and you might get lots of money. It might be lots of frustration, because I want money, but actually I'm not very good at making money, and lots of people in life are frustrated because they don't have as much money as they want, do they? Faith is a channel of looking and receiving. What if we make people the focus of our lives? Where is he? Aha, I see you. Okay, what if we make another person the focus of our lives? And we look to a person for what we feel we need and so on. So, where's my wife? Ah, there she is. Okay, relationships, by the way, great, aren't they? They are the stuff of life. They're really, really important. But if we make another person the main thing, well, the danger is we place too high expectations on them, don't we? And we can do that. Or we ourselves get disappointed because we know what we're like as people. Or both. Money and relationships, as good as they both can be, can they make us right with God? If I look at money and relationships with other people, wife and family and so on, is righteousness, being right with God, going to come back? Am I going to receive that? No, the answer's no, isn't it? So where should our faith be directed? Where should I point this? To me. Yeah, let's point it up to God. Sorry, I don't know how to do this. My sign Jesus over there would be a good one, wouldn't it? Okay, if it's directed at God, however, that's very different, isn't it? And this is what this passage is about. Okay, our faith, to be right with God, needs to be directed at God. What does Romans 4 say? What does it say we will receive if, like Abraham, we make God the object of our faith? Not money. That ends up as useless to us in the end, doesn't it? Not another person. It doesn't say that either, does it? As lovely as people can be. It says if we direct our faith to God, righteousness is received. And that is exactly what we need for the judgment to come and for eternity. Verse 3, Abraham believed God. So it means he put his faith in God. And what came back? Can you finish the sentence? Righteousness, thank you. Being right with God. Make the object of our faith God. And end of verse 13, can you see the end of verse 13? Through the righteousness that comes by faith. Being right with God is a gift from God alone. So to receive this gift, we must look to God by faith, who alone makes us right. Faith and faith alone. In the Bible, you may know the story when Jesus brings a little child amongst them and he says to his followers, the kingdom belongs to those who have faith like these. Just come believing. At another time in the Bible, there's a woman with an issue of blood, isn't there? And she does what? She just reaches out, doesn't she, to Jesus. And when Jesus was on the cross, do you remember one of the people next to him on another cross? It was a thief, wasn't it? And how was that thief made right? Simply by saying, Jesus, remember me. All faith, believe, reaching out to receive. Could the thief on the cross do anything? Could he actually, you know, do anything to be right with God? Could he get baptized? Or was there time for him to start putting into place God's law in his life? No, he simply cried out to Jesus, have mercy on me. Receiving from God comes from reaching out by faith to God. That's it. How are people right with God? Simply by looking to God in faith. And we really struggle with this because from the youngest stage, we're used to being rewarded, aren't we? You remember coming home from school and your parents saying, well done, your report is fantastic. Some of you are thinking, no, I don't remember that, neither do I. But you come home, you've got a good report. Well done, you deserve it. Or well done, you've been practicing that instrument lots and you've got the grading you deserve, well done. Or at work, what a wonderful colleague you've been. Employee of the month. And you get a promotion. Good on you, you deserve it, well done. That's how the world works, isn't it? From the very youngest age, that's not how it works with God. Being right is not by works. Faith isn't a work, by the way. Abraham and God didn't do a swap. So if Abraham saying, I'll give you my faith and you give me righteousness. No, faith is simply a channel. It's a reaching out. It's a crying out, which believers look to God and receive. Does it say in this passage anywhere that Abraham worked really hard? Does it say that he went to church for years after years? Does it say Abraham did wonderful things for charity? Does it say Abraham prayed a lot, fasted? No, no, no. Verse 18, in hope Abraham believed. End of verse 9, Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. David, we're nearly finished, guys. Did David, the adulterer, the murderer, awful sin, wasn't it? Did he work off his sin? David, like, work it off by doing stuff? And then, like, getting baptized? No. He said, blessed is the one whose sin is not counted against them. Or another way, whose debt is paid. How? Look at verse 25. This is the verse we should look together. It's through Jesus. And here he is, verse 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification. Can you find yourself in there? Well, you can find yourself only as a recipient, can't you? He, for our righteousness, justification. And David, one of the greatest sinners, genuinely says, I'm forgiven, it's forgotten forever. How? By believing in the promise, receiving the gift of righteousness by faith alone. Verse 23, the words it was credited to him were written not for him alone. We should get excited now, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Our faith is in the right place, and you and I are made right when we have this channel, this focus on Jesus, on his saving work for our sin. It's not about who has the most faith, who can conjure up the most faith, but who has the most important person as the object of their faith. Who's looking to Jesus? That's what this is about. Faith is the key. Verse 16, the promise comes through faith. End of verse 16, it comes to all those who also have the faith of Abraham. How are people right before God? Believing God's word, receiving God's gift through faith. Not works, not signs. So we need to let go. Get rid of any nonsense thinking that we can ever do or be good enough. We can't. You can't and I can't. It's faith and faith alone. How do we know for sure? Look at Abraham, first believer. Look at David, the believing greatest king, credited as righteous, not by anything they did, but by believing in God, receiving from God. Amen. Praise his name.